WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. All of our WNST coverage brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, bringing Betty Boop out, giving away some scratch-offs at Greenmount Station this week. We will also be next week at our friends at G&A Coney Island Hot Dog up in White Marsh, as well as Conrad's Crabs on the 27th. Baseball has sprung again, and you know this is where serendipity kicks in, because I didn't even look at the Orioles schedule until after I'd booked this guy on. We actually bumped this thing once, twice, but the Orioles are playing in Oakland. So if you're up looking for the Orioles in the middle of the night next week, you will find them taking on the Oakland Athletics, perhaps soon to be elsewhere, like all the other Oakland franchises. This guy wrote a great piece for The Ringer. I saw it about a week and a half ago. I am going to Oakland to see Pearl Jam in a couple of weeks in an arena where I once saw Page and Plant, an arena where I used to see the Golden State Warriors play, in a parking lot where I once saw Rich Gannon taken down by Tony Siragusa. And, I actually cried in the aisleway there with Mike Flynn's mother when we went to the Super Bowl. A story about Oakland, maybe keeping its baseball team, maybe losing its baseball team, certainly not losing its charm, Oaksterdam. Dan Moore joins us now from Oakland, California, where my cousin lives over there, Hayward. I once lectured the Raiders with Jack Del Rio. I got so many Oakland memories, dude. But like, I start to do the math on this, and I'm like, hell, last time I was there, they had three teams. I'm coming back, they got one. How are you? I know a difficult piece to write when your civic pride is being injured here and you're losing your franchises. So I want to give you some equal time out there, Dan.
Oh, I appreciate it. Hi, Nestor. Thanks for having me. I'm doing well, man. Hard to complain.
That's a Green Day poster behind you. I see that.
That's right. That's right. Big Green Day fan.
All right. Well, you know, that's East Bay. You got it going on, right?
Oh, yeah. I saw them play semi-recently in the Oakland Coliseum, where it sounds like you cried not too long ago.
No, I cried at the – well, is the Coliseum, do you consider that indoor or outdoor? Because I know they're sort of interchangeable, right?
Well, there's the Oakland Coliseum, and then there's the arena, Oracle Arena, which is right next to it.
Okay, so the Coliseum defines stadium. So you saw Green Day in the stadium.
I saw Green Day in the stadium, in the Coliseum itself.
I feel like such a jerk because I was at the Super Bowl and I had been out drinking all day. I know you find that hard to believe on the Saturday before the Super Bowl. And Green Day was playing with Miley Cyrus at whatever crypto staples thing they call that in LA. I was six blocks away and I've never seen Green Day. And I laid down to take a nap and I woke up at midnight. And there has your margarita story. So I still have yet to see Green Day, but I'm coming out for Pearl Jam and I'm going to the arena to see Pearl Jam. They're playing two nights. I've been sitting on these tickets on my app for 2.5 years. So I'm excited about all that. The notion that the Raiders aren't there anymore, I guess between both of these franchises, there's been this, how long are they going to stay? How long are they going to play in the dumpy stadium? And I love your dumpy stadium, by the way. It smells like Memorial Stadium here in Baltimore did back in the 70s when I was a kid. It kind of feels like Memorial Stadium when you're in the Alcoves. So I love your crappy baseball dump, but every time I've ever seen an event there, whether it was the Raiders at the end with Derek Carr, or whether it's been probably 10 years since I've seen a baseball game there. But every time I come, I think, how long can this last? How long will they continue to do this? The Raiders kind of answered. I wondered, how long are the Raiders going to play on infield dirt? before this changes. You've been there, and now there's a real question as to whether Oakland's going to lose all three of its franchises. The way Baltimore at one point lost the Bullets, lost the Colts. The Orioles we've had to fight to hold on to. My heart breaks for St. Louis, Oakland, these cities that lose franchises.
Yeah, totally. It's definitely something that's top of mind out here. A lot of people are worried about it. As a fan myself, it feels, the idea of losing the A's, in addition to having lost the Warriors and the Raiders, feels tragic, but it's not a foregone conclusion yet. I think there's still much to be decided. And that was, one thing I wanted to, make clear in the piece was, there's a lot of moving pieces to this and, nothing has yet, been decided. There's still a chance that we keep them. There's still a chance that the A's stick around.
Well, baseball never leaves, right? I mean, that's part of the gig. I mean, I still have my old San Diego Padre Washington National cards from 1974. It only took them 40 years to get there, and now look at them. But, I remember the Oakland A's were moving to Denver at one point with Charlie Finley back in the day. Hell, from the minute he got them there, he was trying to put them in pajamas and move them. I will – full admission, the Oakland A's were the first team I ever hated because I was a 1973 Baltimore Orioles fan and a 1974 Baltimore Orioles fan. So even though my high school colors were Kelly green and gold, and I looked a little bit like Catfish Hunter, but never Raleigh Fingers. The A's to me have been this sort of second child of the Bay Area forever. Certainly the Giants have now spent a generation not in Candlestick in the wind with the popcorn bags blowing around, the hot dog wrappers, but in downtown in San Francisco, they've won championships there. I mean, I go back to the Bay series back in 89 and, and Will Clark and all of that. But the A's have always been sort of this second citizen there. And I never understood. And again, this would be like you saying, well, I don't understand why the Baltimore Washington didn't come together. Well, we kind of hate each other. So, people don't really understand the Oakland San Francisco thing, but I never understood how the Raiders and the 49ers couldn't figure out a stadium. And certainly have never figured out the 25 years later, however long it's been, that the A's still play in a dump when there's a palace 8 BART stops away. And I've done it. Your ears hurt a little bit when you go into the tunnel. But other than that, you get there fine.
Right. For a long time, Oakland and the A's were a better team than the Giants. They were more dominant, by far. So, I'd push back a little bit on the idea that they were the second child, at least as a team, throughout the 70s and then into the 80s, the A's won championships when the Giants didn't. Obviously, that's changed of late. But you're certainly right that here in Oakland, there is there's the sense that like San Francisco is this more privileged older brother, right? And that the city sort of lives in its shadow, or at least there's a conception that that's true. And I think that that's one reason why so many people here feel so strongly about building the stadium and keeping the A's. They feel that it's sort of like, plant the flag in the ground moment where it's like, no, we are, we compete on that same level of, notoriety and cultural relevance.
Well, one of the reasons I did bring you on is I have so many great, the more I think about Oakland and the times I've spent, I was at the crotch chop game where they carted Johnny Damon out on the stretcher. I was at that game with my wife. We flew up from Vegas. My wife's a Red Sox fan. It was a game 5. It was a big game. It was the last game Tejada played there and wound up in an Oriole uniform. I was there for both AFC championship games of relevance at the turn of the century. So I was there when the Ravens beat the Raiders, and I was there when the Raiders beat the I'm wearing the Tennessee Titans Oilers colors. My buddy Jimmy Schwartz was the D coordinator there, and I walked out of that stadium with Raiders fans, and they were going to the Super Bowl. So I've kind of seen big events there. The part about the A's for me is that it's why I say second citizen. You've been at this about 40, 50 years now it's 31 years since Camden Yards came online. The fact that it's still dangling and the fact that it hasn't been solved and the fact that Southern California managed to steal 2 football teams and one of them wasn't even yours. And the fact that the baseball teams don't move. So I feel like even here in Baltimore, where we have our own problems and the state just committed $1.2 billion to both of the stadia here in Baltimore, very quietly and very quickly, by the way, it's a lot of money. I mean, that's more than both the stadiums here cost originally by a lot. I know it's been 30 years, but California thinks about this differently and has gone about it differently and is cared differently. The city of San Diego cared differently about the Chargers than they did the Padres. And there was all sorts of political wrangling about Petco Park. Right. What will save the A's? I mean, your story in the Ringer was fantastic about emotions and about Warriors parades. And I've been on and off that BART a million times. What's going to save them? Because I always feel like nothing, I'm not shocked the Raiders left. I would be shocked if something saves the A's because I've seen all these beautiful plans around lakes and beautiful things around that people could come to that would be your little San Francisco Giants Park on your side of the place and say, we've got our own thing, but who's going to pay for it?
Yeah, What would save the A's in this instance is, for lack of a better term, probably just compromise. You know, I think that Oakland needs the A's team owners, John Fisher and Dave Cavill, to display a bit more genuine commitment to the place. It's funny, their marketing slogan for the last 8 or so years has been rooted in Oakland. It's time that they prove that a little bit. And I think what a lot of people here would want to see is, you know, in addition to paying for much of the construction of this new ballpark privately, which John Fisher is committed to doing, investing more in Oakland in the way of affordable housing, in the way of community benefits, things like that.
Social causes are just different where you live than they are here. You know what I mean? They really, like, if you tied to that and really did something with that, as opposed to what Atlanta did, which is pull the stadium out of the city, put it out on the beltway for white people, build the housing around it, and then win a World Series and open your books and sort of laugh to the bank about it. That's a model. That model is working in Atlanta. I don't know if it's really working for Atlanta.
Right. And so, I think what Oakland wants, what the people here need to see, is a partnership that promises to work both for the A's owners and for the city. And that constitutes a smart investment, not only in this team, but in the city's future, right? I think that Oakland is coming to this, and the people of Oakland are coming to this negotiation with a bit probably of a different context than maybe fans in Atlanta. I'm not exactly sure. I'm not from Atlanta. But, you know, it was not very long ago where Oakland was thoroughly burned by the Raiders. The Warriors, on their way out of town, tried to, you know, sort of skip out of their lease and their financial obligations that they had made to Oakland for Oracle Arena. And of course, you know, the Raiders situation, the city's still paying off the debt from the expansion and the relocation money that they gave and built for the Raiders back in 95.
And Mount Davis was not free. I remember being in there before and after.
Right. And so Mount Davis, we are still paying off Mount Davis. And, you know, the Raiders valuation is something up like, you know, 100% or something like that since they left. You know, don't quote me on that. While the Raiders are getting richer.
You're not wrong. It was probably $1.5 billion to $2 billion, and now it's worth at least $4, maybe $5 in Vegas with the lease. So there's no doubt about that.
Right, something like that. Meanwhile, Oakland is having trouble funding public schools. And so I think that, you know, it's this, like, fool me once, you know, shame on me, fool me twice, you know, or, you know, whatever that saying is.
Well, several times you've mentioned schools and kids and communities and poor people and all of those things that – dude, I got dropped off in Inglewood on the media bus on Super Bowl Sunday, 10 weeks ago. And I've gone to 28 Super Bowls, so I'm no stranger to getting dropped off of media buses and before 9/11, after 9/11, fortress that Trump built down in Houston because, you know, they're always afraid of a bomb going off or something like that, which they should be. But I got dropped off in Inglewood out on the main area, not inside the gated community. Dudes are rolling big fat J's, smoking them, selling beer out of tubs for $1 on Super Bowl Sunday. And then you walk in and beer's $28. And there's like a whole different level of this side of the fence and that side of the fence that that when they drop these stadium down, that I don't know that SoFi Stadium's really going to raise the neighborhood in Inglewood, although I'm sure it was portrayed as such. Look, I'm 30 years into Camden Yards and I lived – in downtown Baltimore. It did nothing for the value of our home, my house, our schools, Freddie Gray, anything that's happened here socially. I know sports likes to tie to that. Dan Moore is here. He wrote a great piece at The Ringer. I want everybody to go find it. He's out in Oakland, California. A little bit of bleeding heart in you from the fans' perspective of, we had parades and three teams here 5 minutes ago, and now we have one team dangling, and we're not even sure if they're going to hang out. And you referenced Cleveland and moving the Browns, and obviously I'm a broken 15-year-old child of having lost the Colts. I lost the Bullets when I was 6 years old when the Capitol Center opened. My dad hated Abe Pollin his whole life because the Bullets left Baltimore. So these feelings and society and fathers and sons and coming to games, I guess my thought for you on the A's would be, And this is flipping about them, but Billy, you know, Billy Beane's created this Moneyball and all, but to be a fan of the A's is to rent Cespedes for 3 months and rent this player for 5 months and watch Barry Zito walk out the door and watch that. Like, I don't, the Orioles have at least that history that the A's have of the 70s and famous players and Hall of Fame players and all of that. But there was a sense of community built around the Orioles here that, like, I don't ever think that Charlie Finley felt like laying down. They always felt a little bit banded when Billy Martin was running him. And, like, all of that, there's never been this foundational flag put down for the franchise for players. There's been a system, books written, movies made, and all that. But it has felt very transient. Like, much like the Raiders felt like they could move anywhere and be the Raiders.
Well, you bring up something interesting. First, it was not exact. Billy Beane did create this Moneyball strategy, but he did so out of necessity, and his hand was forced by the team's ownership. And so I think
that was the Hess guy, right, back in the day.
Well, I believe Lou Wolf was the owner during the Moneyball years. I could be wrong on that, but I think what you're getting at and what you describe is there's a truism, which is, team owners dictate, I think, more than any other factor, whether a team benefits a community or a place, whether it invests in its players, whether it, you know, is a true, a truly symbiotic partner to a people and to a place. You're certainly right that, you know, if you look at the A's history, this is perfectly exemplified. Charlie Finley was incredibly frugal. He, you know, kind of set that stage. His lack of investment really in the team, especially as soon as free agency became a thing.
Well, I was at Memorial Stadium the night he tried to sell Joe Rudy off to the Red Sox. And, you know, I remember Bowie Kuhn come out. I'm 7 years old. I'm like, Daddy, what happened to Joe Rudy? You know, and my dad, this is when I'm trying to learn about free agency as an 8 year old. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
He was the original creepy owner, Charlie Finley.
Right. And so just as team owners can sort of condemn a fan base to a, you know, life of watching their favorite players skip town, of not really being able to form that connection with players, which is something that the A's current ownership has certainly put on A's fans. Good owners can do the opposite. And I say good, what I really mean is generous, committed owners. And so the Haas family owned the A's throughout the 80s and into the very early 90s. And they invested in their players. They also invested in the fan experience in the Coliseum. They had improvements done to the Coliseum. They actually marketed the team. They invested more money in it. And the result was the A's dynasty of, you know, the late 80s that had the best.
Well, that and some steroids, and I'll bash you right here. But I, they, you know, everybody was doing it, Dan,
point
right?
Taken.
Everybody was doing it.
Point taken. I think that this is the long-winded way of saying that the A's current woes and the what it's like being an A's fan now, which you're right, is full of hardship. It's full of heartbreak. That is not Billy Beane's fault. It's ownership's fault. It's the fact that, you know, John Fisher has not offered a market rate contract to any star or, you know, free agent player ever. I think the last player that we signed to a market rate contract whom, you know, we had brought up from our system was Eric Chavez in 2006.
When I think of the A's, I think of Eric Chavez. I think of like those kinds of the Hudsons, the guys that came through there that really never got paid there and because they couldn't pay people. Look, I'm in Baltimore. We got the lowest payroll. I mean,
yeah, so you know,
our guy went all in on Chris Davis.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, at least you went all in on somebody. You know, I think that you saw it, especially with this last go round, this last offseason. The people who are running the A's let, you know, all of our favorite players go. Simultaneously, they raised ticket prices. And so there's this sense here right now that it's just not sustainable any longer. I think there's a feeling very much of everyone here is something needs to change, right? Whether it's, you know, the ownership insists that if there's a new ballpark built, then that will enable them to invest more in players. Not everybody buys that. I think
Angelo said that when they gave him the television network. And then all the money goes to, right. I mean, we've seen how Pittsburgh, all these franchises, when they take money and spending it, if you're not really interested in winning and you're interested in making money, and it feels like that's where that's part of the collective bargaining agreement. That's part of the lockout, you know, in the off season is who's trying to win and who's just in this to have a seat at the table and make money.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, I think that's sort of the calculus that people here are grappling with, you know, especially like Oakland's municipal leaders who are on the front lines of these negotiations. What they're kind of saying is, okay, if we, you know, effectively hand over hundreds of millions of dollars in public money to these team owners, to these billionaires, what will that change exactly? And so when, at least on the sports side of the equation, it remains unclear what will change. You know, the A's insist that they'll begin to invest in the team more seriously. That remains to be seen.
Dan Moore has written a great piece out at The Ringer. I highly recommend everybody going out, checking it out. It is about Oakland. And while the Orioles are playing out in Oakland, I thought this is a great piece. The headline speaks for itself. What do cities lose when they lose pro sports? You know, we had that going on here for 13 years. We have talked at length about what will resurrect the Orioles here above and beyond winning in a marketplace that's now fractured. Dan, the longer I'm on with you, the more I've been doing this for 31 years. So I've sat here for a lot of ish. But at the height of all of this, back in 1997, right when Angelos fired John Miller and blamed it on his wife, and after John Miller had come to my studio and sat and cried, I had Peter Angelos on the show, and he had had a couple of knocks that night, young man. And he sat and told me, now, settle down. We don't believe Washington should have a team, because if Washington has a team, it's going to be the same problem they have out in the Bay Area where they have two losers. Now, of course, this was when, you know, he had a stadium and nobody else did. This is before San Francisco got their stadium, before Oakland got their stadium. That now, and I remember his, because I played this tape. Those two franchises cancel each other out. Whatever the hell that means. He's eating pudding right now. I mean, his kid's running the team and issuing press releases after they can't sell out opening day. The notion that the Bay Area could be a one franchise pony, that would be, you know, part of the ish that would make anybody believe the Raiders should have left, right? Like if the state of California would have built them a palace, they'd have stayed. But the sustainability of the Bay Area for two baseball teams, I've never believed that. I've just believed that the A's playing a dump have never really been good to their fans. And I wonder if I was an A's fan living in Hayward, how often I'd go. I'm an Orioles fan living in Towson, and I don't go at all. So there.
I go back to the late 80s when both teams were good, when the Haas family was investing meaningfully in the A's and in the fan experience. The A's had the highest payroll in baseball. They also ranked number two in attendance in the American League for 4 or 5 years. The Giants, to the best of my knowledge, also did well in attendance and also obviously performed well in the field. I think, you know, and as that was happening, the Niners and the Raiders were both here. I think the Bay Area can totally support two baseball teams. It's a matter of, you know, I think what will determine the A's, let's say if the A's stay in Oakland, much more so than a new stadium, what will ensure their health and, you know, their success here will be whether the owners invest in the team in a way that inspires confidence in fans, that creates generational fans. You know, I think this is sort of a bit off topic, but there's a minor league soccer team here in Oakland, the Oakland Roots. And I touch on them in my piece. You know, they play in the second division below the MLS. They're only about 4 years old, but they sell out all their games. They inspire love and community.
And Oakland. Tickets are $12 or $15, right?
Tickets are, I think they're closer to 25, which you know, at least at one time was what a bleacher ticket cost in Oakland or at the Coliseum. But, you know, I bring them up because they haven't won a game yet this season, but yet they continue to sell out every game. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that fans want to root for them. I think team owners can do much to engender connection between a fan base and a franchise. Certainly they could do more than we, you know, give them credit for. And the A's have been doing the opposite for the last several years. They've been alienating their fan base. They've been taunting their fan base. And I think any sense that, you know, people have generally that the Bay Area can't support both the A's and the Giants, I think really has its roots in the fact that on this side of the Bay, A's fans are just sort of tired of being treated that way.
All right. So I'm doing something I've never done in the Bay Area. I don't think. Maybe I have, but I haven't remembered it. I'm sleeping in Oakland on the trip when I'm coming in. I've never done that. Staying downtown right by the BART stop. I will wind up in San Francisco eating dim sum at Yang Sing because it's one of my favorite places on earth. I will wind up bellied up to the bar at Tommy's Mexican Restaurant on Geary in the Richmond District because Julio's like a blood brother of mine and I got to go there and eat. But I need an Oakland place to eat. I need like the best. I'm going to eat one meal in Oakland. I'm taking my friend Jenny Jablonski because she's a Pearl Jam fan. Where am I going in Oakland if I'm staying downtown before the Pearl Jam show on Friday night? Where am I going?
Man, you know, I'm horrible with.
You don't eat food.
I stay inside and I read and I write. You know, man, I might have to get back to you on that.
All right. I'm just looking for a good Oakland tip from an Oakland guy. That's all.
There's a new restaurant that I checked out recently in the old Tribune building. The Tribune building is the.
I'm an old newspaper writer. I sent failed resumes to the Oakland Tribune all through the 80s. I'd love to go there. It'd be iconic for me.
They got good drinks, good burgers. Had that recently. Would totally recommend that. You know, couple that there's tons of good spaces to get drinks around there. And if you got time during the day, take a lap around Lake Merritt. It's one of the most beautiful places in the whole Bay Area.
Never been there. Never been the city. This is, so if you don't send me to a restaurant, that's cool. If you're sending me to Lake Merritt, telling me I need to see that. Nobody's ever told me I need to see that.
Take a lap around Lake Merritt. I think it's one of the most beautiful places in the whole Bay Area, but interested to hear your thoughts after you check it out.
I will. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate the kindness of your time. We're sending everybody out to the Ringer to read a great piece. What do cities lose when they lose pro sports? Told from an Oakland guy, not a Baltimore guy, Dan Moore. You can find him out at the Ringer. And good luck to your A's. You know, the Orioles are out there. You know, I will yell to you what we once yelled to the Chicago Bears fans back in 1999 when it was 5 degrees at Soldier Field. We suck less, but really you suck less. We suck more. We're the Orioles.
Right. Well, I appreciate your time, Nestor. Thanks for having me on.
One day we'll ring that victory bell and it'll be just like Catfish Hunter and Jim Palmer was in 73. Dan Moore out in the land of Oakland where I'm taking in Pearl Jam, not once, but twice. Finally, Eddie, get us there. Come on, Eddie Vedderstone Gossard. Let's do this thing. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.